Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm chapter 126. This is another one of those Psalms of ascent. They're singing them on the way up to Jerusalem to worship. And this is a Psalm tonight that I believe will prove to be a great blessing. Psalm chapter 126. The Word of God said in verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Can I get an amen right there? Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If correctly read, that's the book of Psalm chapter 126. Pray with me, please. Father, it is in my heart to be a blessing to these dear people tonight. Lord, I know tonight that you know what we need even before we ask, but God, you said to ask. We ask you to bless your folk tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that the Scripture would come alive to us, and our Father tonight, that you would just help us in these days, Lord, to look up, realize our Lord, though it's getting dark in the world, Lord, that Lord, we're living on the threshold of one of the greatest events that the church has ever seen, the rapture. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Many times, God, when we're unlovable, you still love us. And we're grateful for that tonight. I pray you'd bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, all of God's young and said, amen. Tonight, I want to look at the chapter 126. It's a familiar passage as far as God's people that have been saved any length of time. I guess especially the last two verses are familiar, especially for someone that has an interest in souls, in the souls of men. I want to ask you something. Do you think there's anything in this world that our Savior is more interested in than the souls of men? I don't think so either. Do you think we would be wise to be interested in the same thing that he's interested in? I believe that too. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, the Bible said the Lord had done great things for us. And then the Bible said in verse number 2, the Lord had done great things for them. That's the heathen on the outside looking in. And they recognize that there's something about this people that this people is not responsible for. Boy, wouldn't it be good if people realized that about us. I've had aunts and uncles, my wife will tell you, that'll go to bragging on me, what a good fella I am. My wife will tell you, I always tell them, oh, you was always such a good little boy. I said, where was you at? Amen. I might have been good in their presence, so to speak, but I promise you this, God knows what all I was into as a little boy, as a teenager, as a young adult. Now, I'm not proud of it, but I am proud of the fact that he has forgiven me. Amen. The Lord, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, I want to look, first of all, tonight at a great work on God's part. Later on, I'm going to look at a great work on our part, But there's a great work on God's part. The Word of God said in Exodus 14:31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. So the Bible is telling us back over there in the book of Exodus that a great work that God did upon the Egyptians. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you were talking about a great work that He did for us. The Bible said He turned again the captivity. Beloved, listen, the Egyptians were the enemy of the people of God. And the people of God couldn't handle them. But the people of God's God could handle them. Amen? And tonight, when you and I got saved by the grace of God, we had an enemy that you and I could not handle. But our God handled him. We couldn't even handle the flesh. Would somebody say amen? Let alone the world and the devil. But God, amen, on our behalf, wrought the victory. Amen. I want you to see this great work on God's part. First of all, the Word of God uses the phrase, when the Lord. It's the Lord that did it. Amen. If you come on down, and the Bible said here in verse number 3, the Lord hath done great things. Then in verse number 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. I believe it's important tonight to understand and know that it is a great work. They are worshiping on the way up to Jerusalem. But they're not talking about, beloved, what they've done. They're talking about what God's done on their behalf. And I appreciate that tonight, don't you? Now, not only do I see a great work, I'll say this tonight, salvation is a great work. The Word of God said salvation is of the Lord. Amen? You'll find that in the book of Jonah. But I'll tell you something else that's a great work, and it's just as important. That is the work of sanctification. Beloved, we cannot do it alone. We can't do it by ourselves. That is God working in us to make us more like His darling Son, the Lord Jesus. And so there's a great work on God's part. There's something else here that I see in the text tonight. There's a great wonder. The Word of God said, we were like them that dream. Think about that tonight. I went back to that night when the Lord saved me. It was almost as if it wasn't real. It was almost as if it was so good. I had different emotions going on at the same time. One emotion was a feeling of foolishness. Brother Preston, it was like, why did you wait so long when this is so good? Why did you wander around out there in darkness so long when this is so good? Well, I was full of pride, but thank God I came that night to a place where I met someone bigger than my pride. I met someone bigger than my love for self, bigger than my love for sin, and His name is Jesus. And the Word of God's talking about a great wonder. It was like we were that dream. The Bible said when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. You remember, beloved, how the city lay in waste, and when Nehemiah went down there and spied it out. Amen. And he was so burdened, amen, because that was God's dwelling place. And when you talk about Zion, you're talking about the temple, the place where the temple is. And it burdened Nehemiah because God's place was laid in waste and burned down. And he wanted to go back and he wanted to rebuild. And I thank God tonight, listen, that the people of God knew what it was like to be in captivity. They also knew what it was like to be in captivity down in Babylon. Amen. And when they were loosed, they knew what it was like to be in captivity in Egypt. And every time God would loose them, you can only imagine. It was like we're dreaming. This is too good. I'll promise you this. Listen to me tonight. I talked about the body a while ago. As we pass through the air, I promise you, beloved, it'll seem like a dream. Amen. When we look down and we no longer have this body of flesh, but we have a body likened to the Son of God that's perfect. And we no longer even have the capacity to think something that's wrong. It's going to be like dreaming, say amen. But it's going to be a dream come true for the children of God. Amen. The Word of God's talking about a great wonder. The Word of God said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I like that, don't you? Look, if you will, at Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Let me see if I can find it here. Psalm 118. No, that's not right. It might be. I looked at this a while ago. Let me see if I... It's Psalm 137. I don't know. I went back, I thought, and corrected that. But anyway, it's Psalm 137. Look what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Look at verse number 2. We hanged our harps upon the willow in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive and required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said this, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Listen to me, beloved. Listen to me carefully. When God's people get saved, they're saved forever. But I want you to know this tonight. Beloved, listen, God's people can get out of fellowship with God. I bet you tonight in Kingsport, there's a multitude of people that hung their harp on the willow. They used to sing in the choir. They used to teach Sunday school. They used to be faithful to the house of God. They used to speak to others of the gospel, of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, beloved, something happened. Maybe they got hurt. Maybe the sin was too alluring to them, and they took off down that path. But I want you to know, beloved, listen, not only is it like a dream when we get saved, I'm telling you it's good. But listen, if you've ever been out of fellowship with God and got back in fellowship with God and picked your harp up, maybe you can't sing with this, but I tell you what you can do. Every born-again believer can make melody in their heart unto the Lord. Amen. Everybody don't sing specials. Everybody don't sing in the choir. But every one of God's children can have melody in that heart unto the Lord. They took their harps, and beloved, listen, now they're picking them up and they're worshiping again. And they said, we're like them. It's a great wonder. It's a great wonder. Look with me, if you will, in Timothy. God just put this scripture on my heart. I believe it's 2 Timothy 3:16. I believe that's right. It might be 1 Timothy. I didn't see it there. 1 Timothy, it is. It's 1 Timothy 3:16. Listen to what the Bible said. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. Beloved, listen, godliness is a mystery. Amen. You come to church one night, you wasn't looking for him, but hallelujah, he was looking for you. Amen. I tell you, get out of fellowship with God, and you think, well, everything's all right, and all of a sudden you find your heart's cold and indifferent towards the things of God, and God comes along and begins to stir in that heart and finger in that heart. I'll tell you something right now. Listen, God's people that have genuinely been born again will never be satisfied outside of the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They'll never be satisfied. They can look everywhere, but they'll never be satisfied. There's a great work on God's part. There's a great wonder, the great wonder of it all. The Bible said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Beloved, listen, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe there's something that's holy about a laughter like this. They have been freed. They've been set free from that captivity. They're not in bondage anymore. Brother Gary, they're not making bricks in Egypt anymore. Amen. They're making up the breach in the wall now. And beloved, they found, you remember over there in the book of Ezra, they found the Word of God. And they begin to read it. Amen. And then the people begin to worship God again. The Bible talks about the laughter. It talks about the singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. There's a great worship, I believe, with all of my heart, beloved. When you contrast this with what's going on in Psalm 137, beloved, listen, there they had their harps on the willow. How can we sing the Lord's song? I'll tell you how we can. We're in a strange land. We're strangers. We're pilgrims down here. I'll tell you how we can sing the Lord's song in a strange land. That's being fellowship with Him. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. He'll put a song in your heart. The Word of God said, even praise unto our God. Amen. He took me, beloved, out of that horrible pit. He set me on a solid rock, and He put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Sister Theresa told me one day, she sits over at the organ and plays the organ, and the choir be up here singing, and she said, you know every word. Yeah, I said, I just don't know the tune. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me. I like a good tune. I like a good choir. I like good specials. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's the words that brings about worship. Amen. It's not something that just makes you pat your foot. Amen. It's something that makes your heart turn over in your chest. Amen. That's why I love the songs. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Amen. My Savior forever. Amen. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Here there's a worship boiling up in their hearts. They're not looking back, but they're remembering. Listen, I believe it is healthy, healthy for you and I to remember where He found us. I believe when people forget where they were found, they get too big for their britches, and they get full of pride. And when people forget that all they ever deserved was to die without God and go to hell, that's all any of us ever deserved, beloved. But thank God He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. And I thank Him for saving me tonight. There's a worship. Their mouth was filled with laughter. Their tongue was singing. And the Bible said, they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You know what I believe tonight? I believe you and I have the capacity tonight to be salt and light, which would mean that a person in darkness or a person that has no thirst for the things of God, I believe God can use our life to begin to put that thirst in their heart for the things of God. How many of you can remember back before you got saved and remember that individual in your life? When you just thought, maybe you didn't say it, Brother Wayne, but you thought, man, I wish I had what they had. They got something I need, amen? And listen, even when we were unsaved, we knew the difference between the fake and the real. Somebody say amen right there. I tell you, when I made that statement just now, I thought of my grandmother. There may have been some fake shouting going on somewhere along the way, but when my grandmother shouted, it wasn't often, amen. But I guarantee you there wasn't a man in the church whose hair was still laying down on the back of his neck because she had God all over her, amen. And beloved, she didn't mind praising the Lord. She didn't forget where God had brought her from. What a blessing, a great worship. I think there ought to be a great worship, don't you? Listen, if God done great things for us, then there ought to be a great worship. And listen, it shouldn't just be the folk inside of these walls saying God's done great things for them. It ought to be the folks outside of these walls saying that bunch, God has done great things for them. They're paying attention, amen. There's a great worship. Let me look at a passage of Scripture here in Psalm 118 for just a moment. The Word of God said here in verse number 21, the Bible said here, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible said in verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. You know that's talking about Jesus, right? And then the Bible said, this is the Lord's doing. Glory to God. He did it. He said, it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. How we ought to worship tonight because of that great work that God has wrought in our lives. That great work that God, my friend, listen, has wrought on our family, has wrought on our church. What a blessing. Great worship. There's a great wonder. Now I want you to look at this tonight. Just a couple more things and I'm done. There's a great work on our part. Not only is there a great work on God's part, you remember we love Him because He first loved us. Jesus said, if you love me, does anybody know the rest? Keep my commandments. Ain't that right? Did He tell the disciples to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature? Go into all the world. The best news the world's ever heard is you don't deserve it. Somebody loves you. You don't deserve it, but somebody died for you. You and I don't deserve it, but somebody got up the third and appointed day. There's somebody seated at the right hand of the Father right now. If you'll talk to Him, He'll hear your prayer. He'll forgive your sin. There's a great work on our part. I thought about this passage of Scripture in Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah said, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. Listen to me. Do y'all know Nehemiah well enough if you read chapter 1? He's sitting down in ashes. He's weeping. He's fasting. He's broken. Do you know Nehemiah well enough to know that he's not full of pride when he says, I am doing a great work. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? You say, preacher, why would a man say he's doing a great work? I'll tell you why. He was doing God's work. Listen to me carefully tonight. They're up on the wall. They're building. They got a trowel in one hand, a sword in the other hand. They didn't even, I can't remember exactly how it's worded. They didn't even take a break except to change clothes. But let me tell you something tonight. Years ago, I told the church at Liberty, I said, if you'll come back tonight, I said, I'll tell you what I want my children to be when they grow up. We had a good crowd that Sunday night. I only have one boy. So I'm convinced that at least half of the people, Brother Larry, thought, well, I know what he's going to want his boy to be when he grows up. But this is what I told him. I started with my oldest girl. That's still the truth. I want her to be what God wants her to be. She's not that right in hell, but she can be. I told the church that night, I said, I want my boy to be exactly what God wants him to be. I said this to the church. I said, if my boy tries to be a preacher and God wants him to be a plumber, he'll be miserable. I said, if my boy tries to be a plumber and God wants him to be a preacher, he'll be just as miserable. I want my boy to be happy. My boy drives a truck over to Eastman. He's a truck driver. And he farms. And he works hard. And I'm proud of him for that. But I believe with all of my heart, listen, I can't judge him. But from what I see, I believe he's in God's will. He's raising his family in the house of God. And he loves the Lord. He called me about a year ago. He said, Dad, I want to thank you. I said, for what, son? He said, for teaching me to work. Let me tell you something. You're not doing your children a favor if you're not teaching them how to work. Mom and Dad, if you're not teaching them, listen, how to do some things. Ladies need to know how to iron a shirt. Say amen. They need to know how to fix a meal. A man needs to know how to start a weed eater and use it. Amen. And we're growing up a generation of kids. If you're not careful, you'll say, well, I don't want them to have to do that hard work. I'm going to tell you something right now. It won't hurt them. It didn't hurt me. And it didn't hurt you. How many say amen right there? How many's ever carried in the coal? Carried in the wood? Carried out the ashes? Mowed the grass? Picked beans? Got the strings out of them? No strings attached, Sister Barbara. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I can't tell people how to raise their kids, but I don't believe we're doing them a favor. I believe a young man ought to know how to check oil. As far as I'm concerned, a young lady ought to too, until she finds a young man to check it for. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, a lot of people think, well, listen to me carefully. They think you can separate the spiritual from the secular. A man said this years ago, I never have forgotten it. He said, if you're a cotton picker, he said, then you be the best cotton picker picking cotton. I never have forgot that. If you teach, you work in a bank, it doesn't matter what you do. The Bible said do all to the glory of God. It doesn't matter what we do. The Bible said whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. How many understands we're living in a generation of half-heartedness? Where 15-minute breaks turn into 45-minute breaks. You say, Pastor, don't get off of that. Listen to me. You can't do that to the glory of God. It's stealing. If you get a 15-minute break, you're supposed to take a 15-minute break. If you get a 30-minute break, you're supposed to take a 30-minute break for lunch. You say, Pastor, it's just not that way. Bob told me, this has been a year ago, he said, at Walmart, you're not late until you're 15 minutes late. I said, where I was working, you was late if you wasn't 15 minutes early. I don't understand. I'm telling you, it's a great work. When you are a child of God, a lady ought to be able to stand there at the sink and say, this is a great work. Because everything that we do, we want to do it for His glory. I didn't know the Lord when I was a kid. And I really didn't know how to get out of washing dishes. My brother did. You know how he got out of washing dishes? He just half washed them. I'm serious. I wasn't that smart. I mean, I couldn't figure it out. One day, Mama just said, he don't wash them right. You're washing them. You know what you need, don't you? Some lessons in washing. Amen. Do whatsoever you do heartily as unto the Lord. It's a great work. The Bible said here, Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Down there in the plain of Ono, they wanted him to come down. The enemy wanted him to talk about it. He said, why should the work cease while I come down to you? John 9:4, we quoted this or read it last week. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 17:4, Jesus, watch this. He's praying to the Father. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. Brother Gary, you just went through a real trial. I believe if I was laying there, I would have to think something like this. Have I finished the work that He's given me to do? Think about that. How much work are you and I going to leave undone when we leave this world? I'm talking about His work, a great work. Jesus said, I've glorified thee, watch it now, on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You say, oh, preacher, that's Jesus. What about the Apostle Paul? He told Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know what Paul is saying? I'm not adding to what he says. But he's saying, I'm done with what God gave me to do. I finished my course. I finished the work that God gave me to do. I see one more thing tonight. There's a great work on our part, but there's great worth. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look with me, if you will, in verse 5 and 6. The Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth. I wonder down in Babylon. I wonder down in Egypt. I wonder how many times the children of Israel wept and they thought it's hopeless. I wonder how many moms and dads have wept over their children and thought it's hopeless. I want you to know something tonight. It's not hopeless. The Word of God said they're sowing in tears, and then a day comes. They go forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. The great worth is seen two ways here. Number one, it's seen in the seed. The Bible said it's precious seed. You know what I believe people need more than anything in the world is this right here. I'll say this. This is something we learn as we go along. Not too long ago, Miss Eve said, honey, will you build me some raised beds? She wants to grow some garden. And I have a tractor, so I thought it would be easier just to break up the soil, make her a little garden spot. And I just want to say this. She stopped the other day and she bought some bean seed. I think half runners and Blue Lake bush beans both. This little area had been part of the hay field beside of our house. Not a big field. We're only on 2 acres. But how many beans would you have if you just went out there? I mowed the hay field after they mowed the last cutting of hay last year. Grass probably about that high. If you just went out there and dropped some bean seed, how many beans would you have? Probably none. The earth was hard, Brother Gary. And what I've done, I really didn't have a plow, but I have something called a ripper. It's just got teeth on it that goes down. So I ripped it like a checkerboard this way and then this way and then on an angle. And I noticed something. A lot of rocks. I said, Pastor, I don't know what you're getting at. Every heart is not ready to receive the seed. Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it takes some diligence. Sometimes the Word of God said, break up the fallow ground. Sometimes, listen, people might need to be loved on a while. They might just need to see a good testimony. One person said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And then there's rocks. Every time I run through it, more rocks come up. You say, preacher, what are you doing with them rocks? Well, I'm not painting them. And I'm not collecting them. I'm just picking them up, putting them in the bucket, and carrying them down there and throwing them down over the bank. You say, Pastor, I don't know why. Because I just believe, Brother Rose, if that soil, if you can get the rock out of it and you can get it busted up good. I believe when Miss Eve, I said when Miss Eve drags her hoe through there, I'm doing the hard part. And she goes through there in love and drops them little seeds in there. And she might come through there with her feet. That's what we used to do on both sides like that. Cover them up. See, if you got feet like mine, it don't take long to cover them up. We're just believing that they'll have a good chance to sprout. Hoping and praying to God that the rabbits don't find them. She asked me a while ago, said, you want to grow some corn? I said, you want the coons to be fed? It just draws them in. The point is this. They that sow in tears, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Beloved, listen. The preciousness, the worth is seen in the seed. I'll say this to you. Listen to me carefully. They told Miss Eve, said, probably another week, Brother Wayne. Don't know what it is. There's something in the air. Everybody's wanting to grow a garden. I think some people's got sense enough to know that this country cannot keep going the way it's going right now. Amen. But the lady told me, she said, we'll probably be out of seed in a week. That didn't used to be a problem. You try to find cannon lids nowadays. How many knows what I'm talking about? Try to find them. All I'm saying is this. Be patient with people. Sometimes it takes... You remember the parable Jesus gave of the sower. Some of it fell among thorns. Some of the seed fell on stony ground. Some of it the fowls of the air gobbled it up. Howbeit, glory to God. With God's help until Jesus comes. I gave a fellow a card the other just today. He told me he'd watch the video. With God's help, I'm going to keep dropping the seed. Because God knows where the good ground is. And I'll tell you something right now. Somebody may get the seed today and may not be ready for it. That was that way in my life. Somebody say amen. But I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't get away from it. Just a gospel track. Just a word of kindness. I see the great worth in the seed. Not only is it seen in the seed, it's seen in the sheaves. I'll close tonight. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 16, the Bible said, will come forth rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my name's sake shall find it. For what is it profited if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The sheaves are valuable. The souls of men. You say, Pastor, how much are they worth? Listen to what the Bible said. Romans 5:6. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He looked at me. This breaks my heart. But he said, he's worth it. He looked at you. Brother Wade, he looked at Luke. Said, he's worth it. I'll go. I'll pay the price. I will give my life. I will die so that they can live. I don't know if I told you this or not. We'll have a business meeting next week, Brother Gary. I'm late already. I ain't forgot it, but I can't help it. Brother Brian was in Texas the last time. And he sent me a text. I told him that I understood. I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't. But I knew him well enough to know that he was weighing some things out. There were some things heavy on his heart. And he said, well, Pastor, he said, they're telling me that there's this 30-day aggressive chemo, but there's a high risk of dying. He said, not seeing you, not seeing Bud, Jewel, my family, the church. He said, they're also telling me that if I go home, there's a high risk of dying. I sat, Brother Brian, my heart broke. But I sent him a text back. I give God the glory. I said, Brother Brian, you and I know that what they call the risk of dying is the reality of living. This world doesn't know that. But you and I that have been redeemed, we know that. Brother Mays Jackson was preaching years ago. He said, one day you're going to open the paper. And he said, it's going to say right there in the paper that Mays Jackson died. Brother Ralph, he said, don't y'all believe a word of it. He said, I'll be more alive than I've ever been in my life. Is that real to you tonight? Is that real to you? To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. How many's glad you come tonight? Can you see the children of Israel singing this going up to Jerusalem? They're remembering the bondage. They're remembering the captivity. More than anything, they're worshiping the one that brought them out of it. And that's what we ought to do. Let's stand tonight. We'll be dismissed in prayer.